song, but see. This report in. Exactly 8:37 p.m., lightning struck a power station in the Hudson River, tripping two circuit breakers. A loose locking nut combined with a delayed upgrade cycle kept the breaker from reclosing and allowing power to flow again. Then lightning struck again and two transmission lines went down, causing others to become overloaded. Approximately 20 minutes later, another bolt of lightning struck, taking out even more transmission lines. Con Edison had already begun dropping the power supply to New York City and surrounding areas, but it was not enough. Thermal overload caused even more problems, and approximately 8:36 p.m., the entire Con Edison power system shut down 1 hour after the first lightning strike. This plunged New York City into a total blackout. People by the thousands headed for the streets. Looting and arson erupted. On Broadway Street, the rumble of iron store gates being forced open and the shattering of glass preceded scenes of couches, televisions, heaps of clothing being paraded through the streets by looters who were both defiant and gleeful. The looters began looting other looters, and knives came out. Some were killed and thousands were hurt as riots broke out all over the city. In one night of darkness, 1,600 stores were looted, 1,037 fires were started. The cost of damages for one night without light was more than $300 million. This was reported on July the 13th, 1977. Article entitled "The Blackout of New York City." Now, folks, this blackout and this rioting and this murdering of people and stealing of things had nothing to do with a white man's knee on a black man's neck. Yes or no? Had nothing to do with that. It just simply had to do with an opportunity to kill, to steal, and to destroy. And you might want to listen a little bit to Ben Carson about the false narrative that's being run by people like Black Lives Matter, which really don't care much about black people at all. It's an abuse of black people. It's not helping black people. And just like Ben Carson said, there hasn't been a president that we know of on record who's actually gone into communities and helped black people like President Trump. Now, that's the facts. So, folks, we need to be wise of what's taking place. The movement like Black Lives Matter, for instance, even the very statement itself is a cultural divide which would cause an uprising. According to John 3:16, all lives matter. Jesus Christ died for all people so that I might be born again into the family of God and know they have a place in heaven and that God is their Father. You must be born again to enter the kingdom of God. And so this is what God would open up for all people. And he so loved us that he sent his son to die on the cross for our sins. You know, when you love God as you should, you'll love other people as you should. I'm not saying that when I went over to Solomon Francis' house, as you know, an Indian man, and he made me some of that Indian cuisine, and I was so sweating from head to toe. I can't say I'm going to eat that every day, right? Well, that was part of his culture growing up. I like Mexican food, but I got to tell you, Mexican food has nothing on Indian food. That stuff is hot. Well, anyways, just because I may not like something particularly culturally, We all have our own culture, right? Doesn't mean I don't love people. Amen? And so God would cause us not only to love our own culture, own skin colors, own things that we're used to, but He'll also cause us to love other people. Now, believe it or not, most of us are happy that somebody is not exactly like us. Yes or no? I got an amen right here. Somebody said there's the scientists, and boy, I don't have much for scientists today who don't use the Bible as true science. Do you? Yes or no? I can't get off on this too much, but mythical models that don't exist, that belong to somebody else who are guiding our culture, we can't even see them because they're patented. They're not proven. How many of you think that's a good way to operate? I don't think that's a good way to operate. And I think maybe it might be a good way to operate our life to go back as God is our Creator. Amen. And then realize that God is also our Savior. And we need to be saved from our sins. What we saw in New York City in 1977, we're seeing a little bit more of today, maybe even worse. What we're seeing was in just one night in 1977, when the lights were turned out, we saw that the demands and restrictions of the law and civility were ignored. The people doing the killing and stealing and destroying are energized by Satan. That's John 10:10. The thief, that's a character of Satan, he's a thief. He comes forth but to kill, to steal, and to destroy. But Jesus said, I have come that you might have life and that you might have life more abundantly. This, of course, is enjoying the life of God through Christ. That's the abundant life. What we saw in 1977 and what we've seen over the last couple months are a revelation of human nature at its worst. If the restraining influence of lights, alarm systems, video surveillance cameras, or no police, can you imagine that? If those restraining influences were removed in a society, you would see what you saw in 1977 all over again, great wickedness, abandonment of civility, open theft, and even murder. Ladies and gentlemen, the blackout of 1977 is a taste of what's going to take place in the future on a much larger scale, like we've seen in the last couple months, when the Holy Spirit removes His restraining presence. And when the Holy Spirit removes His restraining presence. In other words, why there's not an all-out free-for-all right now is because of the restraining power of the Holy Spirit in the hearts of men. I asked one of our police officers, I said, how do you know when a guy's lying, you know? And he said, or how do you know when a criminal's not telling the truth? He said, that's easy. His lips are moving. I think that's pretty good. Amen? I like that one. So, I mean, you can have a little bit of humor in these things. But, you know, oftentimes I'll laugh about something because the pain's too great. Yes or no? And so I'll get a little, hey, are you a little giddy or something? No, I'm just so nervous. I don't know how to respond sometimes. And people will laugh a little bit because of the pressure so great. I didn't know I was supposed to hate my black neighbors who play basketball behind my house almost on a daily basis. I didn't know I was supposed to hate them. But if I watch the news, I must hate them because I'm white. No, every time they see something like that, they get a little more restrained when they see me. Well, I can tell you this. We're going to have to overcome these things by being peacemakers and not troublemakers. You don't add more trouble to the pot to get a change. Believers are supposed to be peacemakers because we made peace with God through faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. And that's the answer, just like Pastor Tom said earlier. Well, we're in the book of Revelation chapter 6, and we're looking at verses 1 through 8 again today. And don't be deceived is our title. Don't be deceived. The rapture of the church has taken place. Believers are in heaven. And the Lord is going to supernaturally raise up 144,000 Jewish evangelists, 12,000 from each tribe, and they're going to evangelize the world. And in due time, the commandment given to go and preach the gospel to every creature, every created person, is going to be accomplished. It was accomplished in the first century. It's going to be accomplished again in the tribulation period. Right now, the possibility, we don't have to wait till the rapture. It's either going to be right before the rapture or right after the rapture, and that is this. Russia is going to covet Israel's resources. Listen carefully. This is the next thing. They're going to covet their resources, and they're going to bring a large army, Rosh, if you will, on the old maps. The nation to the north. They're going to come down with large armies, the Bible tells us, Ezekiel 39. And as they surround Israel, God is going to supernaturally destroy the whole army. Now, wait a minute. I mean, just, you know, not even a shot fired or whatever, and all of them are dead. How many of you believe the Bible today? Anybody here? How many did you see the picture that Bailey drew when she was a little girl and we had up here? Everybody saying amen, amen. Well, that's what the Bible says. It's true. It's true. It's true. And we better be telling the truth more and more today, folks, when you're supposed to be sharing the truth with people and not be afraid. People are looking for answers, and this is a great time to be sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ with people. So don't back down. Speak up, because you do have the answer. God will supernaturally destroy the Russian army. It'll take 7 years burning the instruments, over 7 months of burying dead bodies. Wow. The weapons of war will be burning for 7 years. That's the length of the tribulation period. So either this can happen right before the rapture or right after the rapture, but that's the next big thing. As soon as the rapture of the church takes place, somebody, and that war, that happens, somebody's going to step on the scene and take over. And this guy is going to give the answer. His predominant thing will be peace. I offer you peace. Partnership, join with me, better together. And protection. If you sign up, you'll be protected. That's called a one-world religion and a one-world government. And folks, God is actually against one-world government unless he's sitting on the throne. Are you aware of that? He said nations of people. And Israel is a nation. America is a nation. What's going to happen to America? Well, I think we can, let's just be honest. I'm not going to try to jump through loops and make America appear in the Bible. Well, there was some picture on there about wings and everything, and maybe that's America. Save your breath. I don't believe it. I don't believe it. You know what I think is going to happen? Just a hypothesis. I don't know what I think is going to happen. As soon as the Christian influence leaves America, they're going to fall right in line with everybody else. Yes or no? You get rid of, you know, if we could, here's what they say, the psychologists and everything. If we could just get rid of those blankety blank Christians, that's how they talk, we could have a one world religion. Well, we're not the only ones stopping the one world religion, by the way. So are the Jews. And Israel is going to stand. And what's going to happen, and by the way, I heard this from Jimmy DeYoung, who is a saved Jew, right? Messianic Jew, yes or no? Anybody know about him? He's always dealing with prophecy and things. He said, I did the study and I measured it out and everything. That dome on the rock doesn't have to come down because the new temple can be built right beside it. It doesn't even have to come down. It can represent the one world government. Phew. I don't know. How long will it take to build a place when the world turns on it for it to be built? Not very long. You know, what was it, 2 or 3 months to build a hospital in New York City? When you want to do it, right? $20 million here, the revamping of the Billie Jean King Tennis Center, another $20 million. Hey, who cares? It's just money. Print, 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 print. Let it fly. And you know, folks, I said it again. Whenever the Federal Reserve starts printing money, the money that you do have now is devalued. Do you get that? So I hope that wipes the smile off your face about getting a check. Don't desire to get a check from the Federal Reserve because your $100 is now worth about $70 in spending power. That's what you call socialism. And we've had large acts of socialism in the last several months underneath the disguise of safety. Wow. Okay, now I made everybody mad. Let's go to Revelation chapter 6, verses 1 through 8 again. The rapture of the church has taken place. You only need to remember the number 4. Remember the number 4? 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, rapture of the church has taken place. Revelation chapter 4, the believers are in heaven. And now the tribulation period is going to begin. The Antichrist, the deceiver, is going to come riding in on the scene on a white horse. There's 4 horsemen here of the apocalypse, it's called, of the unveiling of the future. Wait a minute. The unveiling, the revelation of Jesus Christ, is this an unveiling of the person of Jesus Christ? Or is this Jesus Christ unveiling the future? And the answer is yes. He's the one giving John the vision of the future. He pulled the curtain back. Here's what's going to happen. It's Jesus Christ. He is Lord and He reigns. Revelation chapter 6. So the opening of these seals. Seals are promises of suffering coming on the earth. God is going to judge the earth. Will many people be saved in this period? Oh yes. Here are the 4 horsemen coming on the earth at the tribulation period. Revelation chapter 6 verse 1. And I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals. Who's the Lamb, everyone? The slain Lamb for us? Who's standing? Jesus Christ, who's worthy to take the scroll and open it up. Verse 6 again. And I heard as it were the noise of thunder. You can just hear these 4 beasts getting ready to praise, and you hear the hoofs of these horses coming. What a majestic sight a running horse is. The power, you know, our cars are horsepower, measured by that, right? That and a Ford Mustang. I like hearing both of those rev. But anyway, let's go on. Come and see, he says. Come see what's going to happen. Verse 2, and I saw and behold a white horse, and he that sat on him had a bow. Did he have an arrow, yes or no? Had no arrow. And a crown was given unto him, and he went forth conquering and to conquer. So Nike, we get the word conquer. Nike, he's going to keep winning battles. But he's not winning battles by the sword or the arrow. He's winning by the bow. What's that mean? By diplomacy, by the words of his mouth. Look at verse 3. And when he had opened the second seal, I heard the second beast say, come and see. And there went out another horse that was what color? Red. Red means dead. Blood red. Blood. What are the seals representative of? Suffering. Went out another horse that was red, and power was given unto him that sat thereon to do what? Take peace from the earth. You think there's a lot of fighting now in the world? What about when this takes place? You having a hard time getting along with your neighbor? Well, let the restraining power of the Holy Spirit be removed. You have a lot of trouble. Lots of trouble. Thank God. You know, this morning I was thanking God, the Spirit, for restraining evil. Have you done that in a while? Verse 4, there sat another horse that was red, and power was given unto him that sat to take peace from the earth, and they that should kill one another. And there was given to him a great sword. Now it's a handheld sword, this red horse is given, but he uses it a lot. It's hand-to-hand combat type of sword. It's not a large sword, it's a handheld sword, but he uses it a lot. This is hand-to-hand combat. This is people walking in neighborhoods and just walking up to someone and stabbing them in the back. That has happened in the rioting time. Just walking up to somebody and literally stabbing them in the back or shooting them in the back. Is that justice, folks? Is that somebody wanting an improvement? No, that's kill, steal, or destroy. That's a work of Satan. Look at verse 5. And when he had opened the third seal, I heard the third beast say, come and see, and I beheld, and lo, a what kind of horse? Black horse. And he that sat on him had a pair of balances in his hand. And this is the horse representing famine. Verse 6, I heard a voice in the midst of the four beasts say, a measure of wheat for a penny, and three measures of barley for a penny. And see that thou hurt not the oil and the wine. Those are natural resources that Israel will have, oil and wine. Verse 7, and when he had opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth beast say, come and see. And I looked and beheld a pale horse. This is the light green color of sickliness. And his name that sat upon him was Death. And hell followed with him. And power was given to them over the fourth part of the earth to kill with the sword and with hunger and with death and with the beast of the earth. Folks, that means very early in the tribulation period when these four horsemen are released, one fourth of the earth population is going to die. We're headed very closely to 2 billion people on the planet. One fourth of the earth's population are going to die in this 7-year period, right in the beginning, right in the beginning. What does a white horse represent? He represents the Antichrist, Matthew 24:5. And Matthew 24:6, the red horse represents death by massive bloodshed. And Matthew 24:7, the black horse represents death by famine. Anybody here ever thought about the fact that there are people even now starving to death? It's going to be turned up. Pale horse, death by disease or earthquake. Matthew 24:7, Luke 21:11. So this first wave of destruction, one-fourth of earth population will die, 2 billion people. So who is the person on the white horse? He is the Antichrist. That means he's posing to be the answer. He's posing to be the Messiah. But he's against the true Messiah. You want to see that? Matthew 24, look at it very quickly. Matthew 24, verses 3 through 8. We'll turn a couple places today as we have time. Matthew 24. Matthew 24, starting in verse 3. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming? Jesus is going to answer the disciples, and they said, and the end of the world. Jesus answered and said to them, take heed that no man, what? Deceive you. That's the first thing going to take place in the tribulation period is deception. Who's going to be deceiving people? The Antichrist is. What color horse is he going to be riding? A white horse. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. That's a white horse. And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. That's the red horse. And there shall be famines. That's a black horse. And pestilences, that's the pale horse, and earthquakes in diverse places. All these things are the beginning of sorrows. Go to 1 John chapter 2. Now, if you were in the book of Revelation, If you go from Revelation and start turning back toward the front, you'd find Revelation, Jude, 3rd, 2nd, and 1st John. We're in 1st John chapter 2. 1st John chapter 2, verses 18 through 22. 1st John 2, 18. Little children, that's a term of endearment, not an insult. He's talking to adults too, every believer. Little children, it's the last time. So when do the last times begin? The last times begin when Christ showed up on the earth. And the end of the church age, as the Bible teaches, will be at the rapture of the church. That will be completed and a new age will begin called the tribulation period. And after that's over, another age is going to take place of measurement of God's timing called the millennial or 1,000 year reign of Christ. There'll be a short revolt at the end of that, showing the nature of man, even underneath perfect government of Jesus Christ himself, will rebel against God. There'll be a final victory there of the Lord. And then there'll be a new heaven and a new earth. An eternity future will begin. Looking forward to that day, all God's people say. Amen. So let us go on. Little children, it is the last time, and ye have heard that Antichrist shall come. You're hearing it again today. But then he says, even now are there many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. They went out from us. In other words, they left the church, the gospel preaching churches, and they went to form their own ministries that don't preach the gospel, that don't deal with sin, that don't claim God is their Savior, that don't claim that you need salvation in Jesus Christ. They don't believe those things anymore. Why does it matter if Mary's a virgin anyways? Because the Bible says so. That's why it matters. Amen? That's a fulfilled prophecy concerning Jesus Christ, be born of a virgin. They went out from us, they just totally left, never came back, but they were not of us. They weren't true believers. For had they been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. They went out that they might be made manifest or revealed that they were not all of us. Ye have an anointing. Unction means an anointing. That's what Christ means, the anointed one. You have an anointing from the Holy One, and ye know all things. That we're able to learn everything in the Bible through the Holy Spirit, what that means. I have not written unto you because ye know not the truth, but because ye know it, and that no lie is of the truth. Who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ? He is Antichrist and denieth the Father and the Son. Now, folks, despite such warnings as these, dozens of figures over time have claimed to be Christ and attracted a following. There's a whole list of them. I had a sermon on this in the past. I'll just give you a few today. You remember Jim Jones, don't you? Claiming to be a Messiah. I think it was a Baptist church he came out of. People's Temple. Don't drink the Kool-Aid, right? Remember the mass suicides? Yeah. David Koresh and the Branch Davidians. The wacko in... Somebody got it. Who was it? The wacko in Waco, Texas. Yeah. Wow. Another self-proclaimed Messiah. Below, we have here a list of five people. I might have three or four who say they're the reincarnation of Jesus Christ, or they are Jesus Christ. These people claim they're Jesus Christ. Alan John Miller, former IT specialist from Australia, is 57 years old, 1 year younger than me. He raised eyebrows when he claimed to be Jesus Christ reincarnated. Alan John Miller was in his early 30s when he started wondering whether he might be Jesus. He don't need to wonder, he's not. Throughout his life, he says, he dealt with a series of inexplicable memories, and holding them back was just getting harder and harder. I had memories of somebody putting nails in my feet and in my wrist, he says. I remember being speared, being threatened, being beaten on a number of occasions, almost to the point of death. Well, he's not Jesus, because Jesus did die. It took another decade for Alan, a former Jehovah Witness and divorced father of two, to finally decide he definitely was Jesus. By this time, he was 41, living alone in South Australian coast, working as a computer technician with a successful business and two teenage sons from his first wife. By the way, only wife, excuse me. Because the one he's living with now, I don't think they ever married. He knew presenting himself to the world as Jesus would make a mess. How many of you agree with him on that? He did it anyways. He did it with such conviction that some 7 years later, 2011, he was making international headlines as an alleged cult leader. Miller, who claims to have memories of the crucifixion, also says, of his crucifixion, also says, his companion, fellow Australian Mary Luck, is actually reincarnated Mary Magdalene. Wow. A figure counted among Jesus' followers in the Bible. Miller's movement is called the Divine Truth. What a blasphemy, right? The former IT worker Miller noted as saying in one of his videos, there's probably a million people who say they're Jesus, and most of them are in asylums, but one of us has to be. He needs to be in an asylum too. That's just one. I can't go all the time in all of these. There's plenty of Antichrist out of there. Let me just read the statements. This guy's from Brazil. Oliveiro Thies, 72 now. He's claimed he is Jesus for 50 years. Here's one of his statements. He believes in the, he calls beliefs in the physical resurrection of Jesus absurd and delirium. He's been expelled from several countries, including the United States, but he appears to remain very popular in Brazil. He has a following on Facebook of a regular 330,000 people. 330,000 people following this guy. The Supreme Universal Order of the Most Holy Trinity, that's the name of his business, religious business. He wears a long white robe, has long stringy hair, and a supposed crown of thorns. In response to having been called crazy for claiming to be Jesus Christ, he says, I can be crazy but not dumb. Madness is different from dementia. It's the mother of philosophers, prophets, and inventors. Well, he invented himself as being Jesus. He's not Jesus. Sergei Torup. Sergei Torup, Visceron, called Visceron by his followers, has 5,000 to 10,000 people following him, meeting regularly. The Russian leader, who's 59 years old, says things like, it's painful to remember the end of his last life. And you see all this Buddhism, reincarnation, Muslim opinion of Jesus, all mixed into one and then hashed out. That'd be one world government, by the way. He says, it's very complicated, but to keep things simple, yes, I am Jesus Christ. That which was promised must come to pass, and it was promised in Israel 2,000 years ago. Notice all the truth weaved into this falseness and bent. That I would return, I will come back to finish what I started. I am not God. Listen to this. It is a mistake to see Jesus as God. That's blasphemy. I am the living word of God, the Father, he calls himself. Everything that God wants to say, he says through me. Some of his last videos have been viewed by 2 million people. Wow. Wayne Bent. Boy, this guy's bent too. Just got out of prison March of this year. He was serving a 10-year prison term. The former Seventh-day Adventist pastor just got out of prison for criminal sexual conduct of a minor and contributing to the delinquency of a minor. He got caught, in other words, being a pedophile. In his new Mexico-based movement called the Lord Our Righteousness Church. What a blasphemy, right? Oh, I got to go on this. I can't take this anymore. Let me just give you a few sentences. How many of you sick already? There's people like this. Wow. He says he's the embodiment of God. I am divinity and humanity combined. I know that if I were to die, the final doom of man would closely follow. He puts a little Indian mythology in there too, which I don't appreciate. But anyways, he said, for the Holy One who possesses me will leave the earth, will possess the ones All of the world's pent-up hatred, finger-pointing will be unleashed. A flood of hatred and fire will come and devour. All of our self-righteousness will come back upon us as a plague, as men do with double what they have come to do. Their wealth will perish like the snow and the summer sun. Indians don't appreciate that. That's from them. Well, folks, we've got to heed the warning of God when he says there's Antichrist coming. By the way, another one's. How many of you heard of Messiah on Netflix? Huh? I don't know. Is it playing right now? Has been? Whatever. These people have taken a Jesus that combines the idea of the Jesus of the Muslim and the Jesus of the Buddhist, which is a false view of the true Jesus, by the way, and they just say he was a good teacher, but of course, he's not God, and he never died on the cross for our sins. That Messiah doesn't exist. Truth is what delivers us from the lie of the devil. Are you in 1 John? Did I leave you there? Go to 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4, then. I want you to see this. Why is this important? Because the white horse is going to ride right in, and this is how he's going to do it, claiming to be the Messiah. So it might be a good idea for us to know who the true Messiah is. Amen? 1 John 4, 1 through 4. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, put them to the test whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know we the Spirit of God, every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh, that means born into humanity, is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of what? Antichrist. Wherever you have heard that it should come, and even now already is in the world. He didn't say the Antichrist is already in the world. He said that spirit is already in the world. Verse 4. Ye are of God, the true God, little children, and have overcome them. Overcome who? All the Antichrist spirit. How did you do it? Because greater is he, that's the true Messiah, Jesus, that is in you, meaning in your heart, than he, the Antichrist spirit, that is in the world. And all God's people say, amen. You know, 1 Thessalonians 4 tells us rapture of the church take place. We ought to comfort one another with these words. And 1 Thessalonians 5 says God will pour out his judgment on the earth of hardened-hearted men and rebellious toward him. And we're supposed to take comfort in that too. How many of you take comfort in justice? Do you take comfort that justice will be served one day? Or you just have no problem with people killing and stealing and destroying? I hope you have a problem with it, because God does. God came to deliver men from their sins, not to encourage them in it. Peacemakers are to try to help people be delivered from sin, not to encourage them in it. Oh, it's so wonderful that people are expressing themselves. No, it's not. If they're not expressing peace and pointing to God, we really don't want to care what they have to say. What do you think Noah felt like? When God told him to build an ark out in the middle of the desert where no water was, and it had never rained. Think of that. And yet, God said, build an ark, and only Noah and his family got in it. Did everybody in the world there, from that point of view, stretched out across the world, have an opportunity to get in the boat? They did. Did they do it? No, they just got harder and harder and harder every time the truth was preached. Righteousness. You know, the only people that go to heaven are righteous people. Oh, say, well, I got a long way to go to work on that. I didn't say practicing righteousness every day perfectly. I didn't say that. I said only righteous people go to heaven, because the righteousness is the granted righteousness of Jesus Christ. That's why only righteous people go to heaven. It's the righteousness of Christ which we depend upon. Isaiah 48, 17, 18, and 22, Isaiah 48. Thus saith the Lord, thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, I am the Lord thy God, which teacheth thee to profit, which leadeth thee by the way thou should go. Oh, that thou hast hearkened to my commandments, then had thy peace been as a river, and thy righteousness as the waves of the sea. There is no peace, saith the Lord, unto the wicked. Ephesians 2, 1 through 5 and 8 and 9. You hath he quickened, made alive spiritually, who were dead in trespasses and sin, where in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air. In other words, the spirit of Antichrist, you followed him too at one time. What? That's right. His spirit was trying to lead you to follow him until you trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior. And the longer you wait to place your faith in Jesus Christ, the more you know that's true. The spirit that now works in the children of disobedience, energizing them. Who's energizing these godless movements? The Antichrist is. Among whom we also had our conversation, our way of life in times past, and the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, who were by nature, naturally, were children of wrath. We got to be born again. In other words, if we were left to ourselves, we would move away from God. We wouldn't come to God. Somebody had to tell us, we need to repent and believe the gospel. Aren't you thankful for people who did that? How many of you got saved the first time you heard the gospel? Anybody got saved here the first time they heard the gospel? There might be somebody. So in other words, somebody shared the gospel with us and we refused it at least once. I'm guilty too. And therefore, I'm really excited about mercy and grace. All God's people say, amen. We were children of wrath just as others are naturally, but God, I love that, divine stop sign, the cross. But God, who is rich in mercy for his great love, wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace you're saved. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So this first rider on the white horse in Revelation 6 is not the same rider on the white horse in Revelation 19. We might look at that. I think we will. Go to Revelation 19. We'll see the comparison. Jesus comes riding on a white horse, and you're going to be with him if you're a believer. And you're raptured, and the church is raptured. You're going to be in heaven while this is going on. And at the end of the tribulation, you're going to come back riding with Jesus Christ on a white horse. Revelation 19. We're going to compare these then after we read this. Is the rider on the white horse the same? No. The first one is the Antichrist, and the one in chapter 19 at the end of the tribulation is Jesus Christ, the true Messiah, the true Christ. Revelation 19, and we're going to look at verses 11 through 16. Revelation 19, 11. And I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was not just called a rider, but what? Faithful. He will do what he says. Faithful and true. That's his person. He's true. He is the truth. And in righteousness, he the judge and make war. When God passes a judgment, folks, he knows all the details. Did you know that? So we don't have to say, that doesn't seem like justice to me. But when you're God and you know the hearts of men, when he judges righteously. Verse 12, his eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. These aren't the Stephanus crowns that decay like Satan had on, winning a battle. You know, the flowered wreaths that decay, these are diadem crowns. Crowns of royalty, crowns of eternity. And he that had a name that no man knew but he himself, verse 13, he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. That's the saints. That's you if you're a believer. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, and with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron. And he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. No one will be able to stand against him. So by way of comparison, take a few minutes here. Revelation 6, the horseman carries a bow. In Revelation 19, this rider on the white horse carries a sword and a spoken word. Revelation 6, the Antichrist wears a temporary decaying crown. Revelation 19, the rider on the white horse wears many eternal crowns. Representing, by the way, his right as God to rule as Creator, Savior, Messiah, and King. That's what it means. Revelation 6 offers to bring in peace. 3.5 years later, he breaks that peace covenant. In Revelation 19, the rider on the white horse will bring in 1,000 years of peace. In Revelation 6, the horseman's called a rider. In Revelation 19, the horseman's called King of Kings and Lord of Lords. In Revelation 6, the rider on the white horse brings in the tribulation period. And in Revelation 19, the horseman appears at the end of the tribulation period and brings in the millennial reign. Satan's always putting out a counterfeit. Listen to this, folks. There's no peace apart from Jesus Christ. Don't try to sugarcoat it with people. Don't try to talk about politics with them. Go to a person. Talk about a person. Remember the prophecy concerning Jesus as he was born into humanity. Isaiah 9, 6 and 7. For unto us a child is born into humanity, a son is given from heaven. And the government shall be upon his shoulder. His name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. And of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end. The longer he reigns in the millennium, the greater the peace will be. Wow. Peace, no more fighting. My wife agrees with me on everything. She won't be my child. No, give it. Don't bring the Bible up right now in my illustrations. it's true. In heaven, you're not married or given in marriage because we're spiritually all married to Christ. That's true. Stop interrupting my message, Steve. Okay. Let's say, yeah, I know it. Of the increase of the government and peace, there'll be no end. Upon the throne of David and upon the kingdom to order it, to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth and forever. The zeal, the passion of the Lord of hosts will perform this. It's going to happen. He's impassioned about bringing in the millennial reign. Romans 5:1, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Lord means he's a sovereign or supreme ruler over all. Jesus is his personal name, means Jehovah Salvation. Jehovah's salvation. Jesus is Jehovah's salvation. Christ means the anointed one, the Messiah, the only one who was set apart to do that particular work, the only one that could do it. That's what it means to be anointed. Don't be deceived. Jesus is the way, the truth, and life, and no one can have true peace apart from him. Isaiah 53, 4 and 5. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken of God. And afflicted, he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities, and the chastisement of our peace, the price of our peace, was laid upon him. And with his stripes, the beating he took, gave us healing. Matthew 16:13 through 17. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he answered the disciples and said, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And he said, some say thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others, and Jeremiah, one of the prophets, maybe. He saith unto them, but whom say ye that I am? Let me know what's going on in your heart. And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Messiah, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said to him, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. After the rapture, the Antichrist will come offering and signing a false peace treaty with Israel, and all the world will agree to it. One world government. Great. Israel's not going to join in it. So we got the one world government, then we got Israel. We got to deal with Israel. The tribulation's dealing with Israel, folks. Have you figured that out yet? And here they're going to build the temple right beside this dome of the rock, most likely. By the way, if they tear down the Dome of the Rock, it won't hurt my feeling any. Doesn't have to be, though. They're going to build a temple there, we know, on that same mount. And you can have the one world government, Israel, at the same place. Antichrist is going to sign this false peace, and after 3.5 years, he's going to break it, and then he's going to show his true colors and pour out his hatred for the true God by punishing the Jewish people. You know, Churchill's getting kind of a rough rap here, as they say recently, right? Winston Churchill. But I want to remind you this. When all these patsy nations were signing peace with Hitler, you know what he said? Twice he had to do it. He stood up in the parliament and said, basically this, hey, all this guy is a snake in the grass, and he's just waiting for his opportunity to strike. This peace agreement doesn't mean anything. Was he right? He was right. Thank God for people who are standing up and saying, something's not right here. Is this another step toward the one world government? You see, folks, there has to be these labor pains before the baby comes. So God on occasion will just show us it could happen at any time. What are we waiting for? Russia doesn't have to attack Israel before the rapture. They can, or they will soon thereafter. But that'll be the next thing. As soon as it happens, rapture of the church takes place. Antichrist comes riding in on a white horse, having the answer. We can coexist, like that term, we can coexist with Israel here and still have the one world religion and government. We'll just sign this peace and everybody will say, that sounds good to us. And folks, then he will start demanding that people take the number 666, showing that they will worship him as the true God after this 3.5 year period. Guess what, folks? He's not the true Messiah. He's not the true God. He's a thief and a liar. And when he energizes people to kill, to steal, and to destroy, you know they need Jesus Christ. I hope you don't get wrapped up in it and have the same spirit of Antichrist. We're supposed to be peacemakers, not joining to be troublemakers. Jesus tells us in John 14, I leave my peace with you, I give my peace to you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. That's a testimony, isn't it? As I focus on Jesus Christ, I'm not troubled and I'm not afraid. If I watch the criminal news network or the communist news network or some of these other numbskull broadcasting system, I'm going to start looking around and I'm going to look down. I'm going to get depressed. And let me tell you something. After you look around, okay, you're going to look down, and when you look down, make sure that's a key indicator to you. I need to look back up. When you see these things forming, you better look up, for your redemption is drawing nigh. Now, folks, let me close with this. We're supposed to be displaying this inner peace that we have and the world doesn't possess. Colossians 3:14 and 15. And how can you have that peace? You can have that peace by believing on the Lord Jesus Christ to be your salvation from sin. And then you can have that peace by praying through the things that you're experiencing. Philippians 4, you need to pray through. Prayer and supplication, God will give you supernatural peace. Psalm 120, 1 and 2, 6 and 7. In my distress, I cried unto the Lord and he heard me. Deliver my soul, O Lord, from lying lips and from a deceitful tongue. My soul hath long dwelt with him that hated peace. I am for peace, but they speak. They are for war. Some people are like that. They're not here for peace. They're just here for war. Satan's energizing them. Matthew 5:9. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. When you enter into a situation where two people are arguing and fighting, and you try to find some resolving place of peace, you know what they're going to call you? It must be a child of God. Because nobody else really cares. followers of Jesus Christ who have believed that He is God the Son and the Lamb that was slain for us, risen from the dead and coming again one day, are in the unique position to offer true peace to others in troubled times. Don't be deceived. We are learning these things as children of God now so that we can tell others there is an Antichrist that's coming. He poses to be a true Christ, the true Christ. He's not. And then we need to point them to the true Messiah, the one who can solve all the world's problems. They'll be solved when we bow our knee and we confess with our tongue, Jesus is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Let's demonstrate real love and true peace that resides in our heart. That true love and that peace that comes from Jesus Christ. Father, thank you for the word of truth today. Christ be magnified in our bodies, allowing other people to see through our face and our actions that we love them regardless of their skin color, but that we don't love sin. And no matter who is doing the sinning, red and yellow, black or white, may we say that does not honor God. And if you want peace in your heart, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and follow Him with your life. You'll have peace in your heart. I thank you for the truth today, dear Lord, and that you are my peace. All God's people say, amen. God bless you, and you're dismissed.